Welcome to the Every Nation New Jersey podcast. Every Nation is a Bible-believing, multi-ethnic, non-denominational church hoping to transform the world one life at a time. We hope you enjoy this podcast.
So we just got back from our Every Nation World Conference. So we had 80 nations and 5,000 people converged in Orlando, Florida. And I just can't even begin to tell you how cool it is to hear people from Thailand and Zimbabwe and England and New Jersey all worshiping together. It is unbelievable. And so a very cool moment. And I have a couple stories from the conference. I hope that's okay. Some I can't tell you, but get me afterwards and I'll tell you. And but some from here. So just so you know, Pastor Dottie and I traveled together, and it's kind of funny because we're both helpless. Like, Dottie can't do anything without Jim helping, and I am like a 12-year-old son, kid from my wife leading me through the airport, get me through security and all that kind of stuff. So this was interesting. The good news is we made it. And but it was funny, Pastor Dottie, she's one of these ones who gets like all geared up before we're going to go, you know. So weeks ago, she's beginning to tell me about, I found a really cool way to pack clothes now. My dresses won't get mixed up. You need to wrap them in tissue, I found out. And I'm like, Dottie, I'm a guy. I don't care. I don't care about that stuff. Why are you telling me that, you know? And then she was sure to let me know she bought a steamer. So then if it does get wrinkled, she can do this. Once again, don't care. But then she let me know too, you know, my luggage was looking beat and worn. So I went to TJ Maxx and I got new luggage. So I just need to describe. So first of all, look at Pastor Dottie. Now let me just describe to you what her luggage looks like. It looks like a little kid ate a whole packet of Skittles and vomited up on them, all right? It's purple, green, yellow, white, orange, all of it. In fact, Marge Garcia, our children's minister, she'll let you know, we landed in Orlando and we're all waiting for our luggage. And I go, Marge, $10 says you can't guess which piece of luggage is Dottie's. There it is, right? And so we got all that one. And so, but as we were flying, we were flying United out of Newark. And so Pastor Dottie's like, I think I'm going to watch a movie. And I just thought, oh, that's great, Dottie. I'm going to read my Bible, all right? But you just go ahead and watch the movie. She didn't have earphones to watch the movie, so I gave her my earphones, and so they're earbuds. And so this was revolutionary to her. She didn't know there was such thing. And so she jams those things in her ears, and she looks at me, these things are great! And I'm like, tone it down a little bit, tone it down. And so she's going through all the movies, and just so you know, your women's pastor, she wasn't drawn to like a cute dog movie or something like that. She goes right to A Star Is Born, and so she was watching that one. But I say all that to say this. So she's seen, there's been three renditions of it, so she understands the story. And so both times she tried to watch it going there and coming home, and she missed the ending every time. But the good thing is she had seen the other previous versions, so she knows the ending. So she knows where the story's going the whole time. And I really wanted to mention that because I think that's pretty important. Like when you know the story, if you know the ending and the beginning, everything in between can be anchored between these two things. It's unbelievably important. And if you're a guest here, we're actually in a new series called Casket Empty. And we've been going through months through the book of Genesis. We're going to go through the entire Bible. But if you remember, we began the entire series by, you can sum up the Christian story really by three trees, we said. There's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in the garden. That's the beginning point. And then the ending, we know there's the tree of life that we partake from. And we live forever with our God. But in between that is another tree, the cross of Jesus Christ. And our lives are playing out between these things. But my appeal to us is it's important to know the beginning and the ending, that it anchors us for all the madness that's in between. So I need you to participate with me this morning. Is that all right? And so here's where we go. We're gonna read a study that they did in Cambridge. We've done this once before, but I think it'll be helpful. Izzy, if you could put that up on here. And so according to, read with me, please. According to research at Cambridge University, it order the letters in a word are. The only important thing is that the first and last letter be at the right place. The rest can be a total, what? Mess, and you can still read it without a problem. This is because the human mind does not read every letter by itself, but the word as a whole. And so if we know the anchor of the first and the beginning and the ending, it helps us to make sense of everything that's going on in between. And so I want to give you two things to grab on. Something that that like in the craziness that can be our life and our circumstances, if you could remember these two things this morning, it will get you through moments of madness in your life. And here's what they are, is you need to know this. Number one, God is with you. Like if you know Jesus Christ this morning, God is with you. And here's the second thing, God is good. Despite what your circumstances say, you must know this and grab onto this. God is good. God is with you and God is good. God is with you and God is good. Grab on with both these hands and that will see you through the difficult moments of your life. We're going to read about the young man named Joseph. And let me tell you what, he's going to have a wild ride. But through it all, he's going to grab on. He's going to understand that God is with him. God is good, and it's going to get him through his moment of darkness. And so, Lord, I pray just grace this morning for us as we open up your word in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're actually going to finish the book of Genesis. How about that? We've done an entire book of the Bible, and Genesis, I need to cover chapters 37 to 50 today, so buckle up. All right? What I want to do is I want to recap those chapters for you because I think it's unbelievably important in the totality of our series. We need to get you from the Garden of Eden all the way to the new heaven and the new earth in the book of Revelations. And so, well, I want to keep the story moving. And if you remember last week, we began talking about Abraham, Isaac, and who did we cover last week? Jacob, right? And we remember Jacob had a little bit of a different family life because he had two wives, and then those two wives, they competed with one another, and before you know it, they're having baby wars. Anybody? Like, they would be a TLC show, a reality TV show for sure, and so they're seeing who can have the most babies. Finally, they get 12 sons, and these sons, spoiler alert, would become the 12 tribes of Israel, okay? And so we get Jacob. He has a favorite son. Can we say dysfunction? And when I'm saying he's not like just secretly, hey, you're my favorite, you know? For the record, I do that with both my daughters. Like, whoever's with me, I'm like, don't tell your sister, but you're my favorite, okay? And so we kind of do that thing. But we see that, but Jacob is overt. He's like, no, my boy Joseph, he really is my favorite. The rest of y'all are B-team. This is my boy. And so much so they gave him, we all remember this, he would have a coat of many colors. It was a distinguishing jacket for him. It's kind of like this. Joseph, his old man, Jacob, he went to Short Hills. And he went to the Gucci store, and he's getting him this fine thing. And he like puts that thing on. Ooh, ooh, look at me, right? And then his brothers get to open up their jacket, and it's in the TJ Maxx container, right? Or excuse me, Walmart. And they put on their Walmart jacket. If you have a Walmart jacket, I'm not judging you. I'm just saying this is what kind of happened. And so that's how he goes. And so needless to say, this is going to get a little bit of animosity among Joseph and his brothers. And then to top it off, Joseph is just, can we just say, he's not very socially in tune. And so he begins to share with his brothers this amazing dream that he had. He says, boy, fellas, guess what? I had a dream, and all you fools were bowing down and worshiping me. Isn't that amazing? What is your dream, you know? And so it's stirring up the angst. Jacob wants to know what his sons are doing as they're out in the field shepherding, so he sends the little tattletale, Joseph, to check up on them. And as he goes, he finds them, and off in the distance, the brothers say, the dreamer's coming. I say we handle him. And as he goes out, they plot to kill him. They beat him up and they throw him into a cistern. They're gonna pretend that a wild animal killed him, and they'll tell their father that. Well, Judah, one of the brothers, he has another idea. Hey, let's not kill him. Let's just sell them into slavery. Then we can get some money for it. Did I mention that it's a dysfunctional family? All right? And so what do? They actually sell Joseph into slavery. And so I need you to just feel this so we just don't read over that. Like this is a young man, so he's stripped naked, given to the Ishmaelites, and he's going to be sold as a piece of meat. And I can't help but thinking Joseph, and the long journey into Egypt, he's got to be going, all right, you're waiting for someone to say, hi, just kidding, you know, I'll punk you. But that moment never comes until he's sold into an Egyptian government official's house by the name of Potiphar. But the Bible's crystal clear about something. It lets us know, while he's in Potiphar's house, sold as a slave, God was with him. And something amazing happens. He just begins to grow and blossom in his leadership as a slave. Suddenly, all these organizational skills, leadership skills, are bubbling up in Joseph's life. In fact, everything he touches turns to gold. And so he's rising to prominence in Potiphar's house. And so everyone's taking note of this guy, Joseph, especially Potiphar's wife. And Potiphar sees him, and the Bible is clear about our boy Joseph. Not only did he have a cool coat, but he was ripped. Six-pack abs. Like the Bible says this, that Joseph was handsome in form and appearance. Brother was looking good. And so Potiphar's wife took note of that. Potiphar's gone. She propositions him. In fact, tries to grab a hold of that guy's clothes. He runs, gets out of his jacket, and runs away. For the record, fellas, that's what I want to record. Sometimes you just got to run. Run, Forrest, run. And so he did. But, you know, when it comes time, Potiphar's in a little bit of a dilemma. Because now Potiphar's wife's going to say, he tried to rape me. And Joseph's going to say, oh, no, she tried to seduce me. Who wins? Exactly. Slave loses every time. He gets thrown into jail. He's thrown into jail, actually the king's prison. And the Bible's sure to tell us this, but in the prison, God was with him. And he once again rose to prominence and preeminence and began to run the entire prison. And I don't know if you've ever suffered at all and been through something, but I think you'll find this. When you go through difficulty, it does something to your heart. Like it does something to your soul. And we see something, an empathy and a sympathy starts to be birthed into the heart of Joseph. And there's two criminals in the prison with him. One was the king's cupbearer and one was the baker. And they look forlorn, distraught. I don't even know what forlorn means, but it sounds like a cool word. And so he sees that in their distress and he says, what's the problem? And they said, man, we had these dreams, but there's no one to interpret. Joseph's like, hey, I can interpret dreams. The God inside of me can help me interpret dreams, and so tell me your dream. So the cupbearer tells him his dream, and Joseph's like this, good news, 3 days, you're getting up out of here. And when you do, and you're once again at Pharaoh's right hand, remember me. And he's like, sure, we'll do that. And then now the baker's like, oh, this is amazing. So here's my dream. What does it mean, Joseph? Sorry, bro, 3 days, you're losing your head. And he walks away. So kind of an awkward silence after that one. And so cupbearer gets brought again to Pharaoh's right hand, but he forgets Joseph. 2 years waiting in the prison till finally Pharaoh has a bad dream. This is before Netflix and everything. You wonder why all these nightmares and stuff are going on. And so Pharaoh has a nightmare. He too is distraught. And so he's like, what am I going to do? I can't figure out what this dream means from the gods. Cupbearer goes, oh my gosh, I know a guy in prison. And so they clean Joseph up, bring him to Pharaoh's right hand. Pharaoh spits out his dream, and Joseph interprets it for him. You're going to have 7 years of enormous wealth and increase, and then you're going to be followed by 7 years of harsh famine. And then Joseph pipes up with his newfound organizational skills, leadership. Here's what I would do. I would store up for 7 years of the 7 years of wealth and increase that would prepare us for the 7 years of famine. And so they do that. And here's what happens now. I've got to get through this fast. Now Jacob's sons grow hungry. We have the 7 years of increase. Now the years of famine are engaged. Jacob's family is starving in the land of promise in Canaan. So they got to go to Egypt. So Joseph's brothers go. And as fate would have it, God would ordain it, Joseph sees his brother But here's what you got to know this, is it's been 13 years. Joseph was 17 when he was sold as a slave. He's now 30 years old in Pharaoh's court. And so he looks like an Egyptian. He's speaking Egyptian. And so he sees his brothers for the first time. And as soon as he sees his brothers, he kills every one of them. No, he didn't do it. You guys know your Bible. Oh, good. Some of you guys are like, yeah. How many would do that? I think I would do that, all right? But he doesn't do that. But he does mess with them for a little while, and he doesn't reveal who he is. He messes with them for a little while until he sees his brothers bowing down before him, and he remembers the dream, that God was in the whole thing. And finally, he tells his brothers this. He reveals who he is. I'm Joseph. Rightfully so. They're terrified, and he says this. Don't be afraid. He says, what you meant for evil, God meant for good, because God is good. Lord, pray grace, Lord, as we enter, as we open up your word here. So here it is. How did Joseph do it? He grabbed on with two hands, that he recognized that God is with me and God is good, and that got him through the dark night of the soul. And so I want to just walk through those two points real quick this morning. So number one is this, is that God is with you. Like, I don't know what you're going through, but if you know Jesus today, I want to assure you, God is with you. Do you know the term goodbye? Do you know that's a contraction of the saying that God is with you? It's God be with ye. Goodbye is what it is. And so when you tell somebody goodbye, you're saying God be with you. And so Genesis chapter 39, verses 2 and 3, I want to just read that God was with Joseph in Potiphar's house. Notice in chapter 39, verses 2 and 3, it says this, the Lord was with Joseph, and he became a successful man, and he was in the house of his Egyptian master. His master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord caused all that he did to succeed in his hands. Now, read Genesis 39, verses 21 to 23. This is Joseph in the prison. It says this, but the Lord was with Joseph, and showed him steadfast love, and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison put Joseph in charge of all the prisoners who were in the prison. Whatever was done there, he was the one who did it. The keeper of the prison paid no attention to anything that was in Joseph's charge because the Lord was with him. And whatever he did, the Lord made to succeed. And so throughout Joseph's life, we're going to see seven times that the scripture is going to say, God was with him, God was with him, God was with him, God was with him. It's the Bible's way of pounding into you that when circumstances look off the rails in your life, it's reminded you, hey, don't forget God's with you. Don't forget God's with you. Don't forget God's with you. And so over and over again, he's letting us know. But our circumstances will scream otherwise, that God's abandoned you. He's forgotten you. And I want to tell you, it's not true. If I can remind you, you grab a hold of God and you confess, no, God is with me. God is with me. How many remember this guy? Where's Waldo? Is he? You remember this guy? You guys remember Waldo? The creator was this guy, Martin Hanford, sold over 40 million books around the world, okay? And if you're not sure what he is, and what they do is they'll mask this guy Waldo in this picture of just of everything, and it's trying to train children's eyes to find Waldo. What the goal was to train kids to be aware of their surroundings and to find what they're looking for. And if I might that's kind of our job. Like, our jobs at times is not to find Waldo, but it's to find the Lord in our circumstances. And so it's why every week you see me get up here and I got the same message just over and over. Read your Bible and pray. Read your Bible and pray. Read your Bible and pray. And so that's our way of training our eyes to see God in our circumstances, in our situations. God is with you. Let me maybe bring this home for some of us. God is with you in the fire. Like, in your fiery trial, I want to let you know that God is with you. I know we have some guests here, so I wasn't always like a pastor guy. I was a hockey player. And so I played for the Philadelphia Flyers. We're just up the road there in Pennsylvania. And natural transition, right? You'll go from playing pro hockey to that. But we had our strength coach in Philadelphia, this guy Jimmy McCrossin, and I hope he's podcasting right now, because Jimmy was the coolest strength coach I ever had. And here's what Jimmy McCrossin would do. So like, when we'd have to train, guys would be like, oh, you're so, like, why do we got to do this? But not with Jimmy McCrossin, our strength coach. He did it all with us. So if we had to do like 1,000 crunches, he had to do them with us. And if we had to go run 5 miles, he did it with us. And so what he did by doing that is he took away our ability to complain. Like, we can't complain about it because we're like, hey, this is hard. He's like, I know, isn't this terrible, right? And because he's along with us. And in the same way, Jesus Christ, he is a sympathetic and empathetic high priest. It says that Jesus became a man and suffered like you and I. So when we're going through stuff, Jesus is like, I know. I've been there, and I'm with you now. And if you don't believe me, you can just read the book of Daniel later on, right? Familiar passage of Scripture. Remember, the three Hebrew boys won't bow down to the golden image of Nebuchadnezzar. And so what does he do? And Nebuchadnezzar throws them into the fiery furnace. But to Nebuchadnezzar's been... that on Sunday morning. Nebuchadnezzar's chagrin is he sees, hey, I thought we threw three people in the fire. I see four, and the fourth one looks like the son of the gods. See, Christ was in the fire with the boys. And so God is with us in the fiery trial. Joseph, he loses everything but his faith. And he was hanging on to the reality that God's going to be with me even in Egypt. You remember another guy named Job? It's not Job. All right, it's Job. And Job, he had a tough little go for a little while, didn't he? But what we find through his trial, Job would not let go of the fact that God was with him until finally God restored everything that was taken times two. And something interesting happens. You should go back and read the names that he names his daughters. In genealogies, women, sorry girls, were not usually included in the genealogy, but the Bible saw fit to include Job's daughters. And you want to hear what one of their names was? I'm going to butcher it, but it's Keren Hapuk. Keren Hapuk. And you know what it means? It means eyeshadow. He called his girl Maybelline. Why? Because God is the one to make everything beautiful in his time. And that's what we know, that God is with us in the fire. Here we go. God is with you in the fight. God is with you when you're in the fight. I don't know how many of you have the fight of faith. So back in my hockey playing days, you can Google this, there's the top three fighters in all time in the NHL is a guy by the name of Bob Probert. Number two would be Joe Koser, and number three would be a guy named Ty Domi. Your pastor got beat up by two of the three, and I avoided getting beat up by the number one guy, Bob Probert. So Bob Probert was playing for the Chicago Blackhawks. I was playing for the Carolina Hurricanes, and we were playing against them. And a little skinny guy for Chicago is a guy named Doug Gilmore. He's in the Hall of Fame now, but he was a little bit of, he would disturb you, all right? Because he was standing in front of my net, and I'm like, hey, man, you ain't standing in front of my net. Boom, I give him a shot with my stick like that. I wasn't as sanctified as I am now. And so he turns around and he whacks me across the skates with his stick and he gets in my face and he's just a little guy. And I'm like, oh, I'm going to drop you and then we're going to drop the gloves. And then he just looks over at his winger, Bob Probert. No teeth, head this big. And all of a sudden he gives me a look and Doug Gilmore looks at me. He goes, you know what? If you touch me, he's going to kill you. And I was like, yeah, you're probably right. See ya. Went back to the bench. I'm like, I want no part of that. And the good news is that's our story. That Jesus says in the Gospels, he says, you know what I'm like? He says that there's a strong man who torments and terrorizes. But when a stronger man comes, he will bind up the strong man and spoil his house. We serve the strong one. The strong man is with us. He's in us. So Moses, God tells Moses, hey, I want you to go and tell the greatest nation on the planet, you tell that King Pharaoh to let my people go. And Moses is like, he starts coming with all these excuses while he can't do it. And you can understand why. And God's like, hey, it's okay. I'll be with you. And then he's like, well, listen, I don't speak well. God even sets him up there. Well, guess what? I will be with your mouth, all right? And so God, that is the deal. That's the game changer for us. God is with us. God goes to Joshua. Hey, I want you to take the promised land. You know the promised land that your people have been trying to get in for hundreds of years and no one could do it? You know the promised land with 31 kings that are in there and then some of which are giants? Yeah, that land. yeah, I want you to go take it. Joshua's like, God says, oh, and by the way, I will be with you always, right? And so that is the good news of our strength. He's with you in the fight. God is with you when you feel forgotten. Anyone ever feel forgotten, overlooked? In 1 Samuel 16, we read the story of the prophet Samuel goes to Jesse, and he goes to anoint his children, his son, one of them, which will be king. And he lines up the seven sons of Jesse, and God's like, nope, 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 all seven. Samuel's like, are you sure that's everybody? And then Jesse, now get this, oh yeah, I do have another kid. His name is David. He's out with the sheep. Like, his old man forgot that he existed. And so if you've ever felt overlooked, but David comes, he's not overlooked by God, because God says, that's my anointed one. Samuel anoints him with oil, and the scripture's clear that he was never, ever the same after that, because God was with him. And so if you feel forgotten, God loves forgotten folk. If you, like, the story of our Bible is God using forgotten people. Like, you know, in our story that we talked about last week, remember Leah? Leah was cross-eyed. Rachel was the hot one. God chose Leah to give birth to Judah, who would eventually give birth to the Messiah, right? He chooses Leah, not Rachel. God chooses a little forgotten peasant girl named Mary to give birth to the Savior. God chooses an old, washed-up couple, Elizabeth and Zechariah, to give birth to the forerunner. I've said it this way. God is about this. God will take a bunch of nobodies, and he's going to turn them into people, but a bunch of nobodies that'll tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. Don't make me say that again, all right? But that's what God does. He takes a bunch of nobodies, because God loves nobodies, and he makes them into somebodies. And so God is with you in the fire, in the fight, when you feel forgotten. And in the New Testament, we learn this. Jesus says this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And so I think the question for us should not be, is God with me? I think there's a clear answer to that, but I think we're asking the wrong question. So I want you to feel what the proper question should be, and so here's what I'm going to do. Especially, I can tell we're getting air-conditioned spirit in here. So, all right, here we go. I'm not going to ask the question. I'm going to get Grammy Award-winning Lenny Kravitz. This song was nominated for 2 Grammys. It was actually recorded in Hoboken, and so let's help us out a little bit, would you, Izzy? You got to feel it. Do you remember this? Come on, my older folk. They're like, what is that? Okay. Great. None of you know who that is. Awesome. And so that, of course, is Lenny Kravitz's hit single, Are You Gonna Go My Way? It's actually, do you know, on the back of Lenny Kravitz's back, it says, Jesus Christ has my heart. It's a messianic song. The lyrics begin like this. I was born long ago. I am the chosen. I'm the one. I have come to save the day, and I won't leave until I've done. And then the refrain will go like this. Are you going to go my way? He says it cooler, though. Are you going to go my way? Right? Like that. But that's how it goes. And honestly, I think that's the question for us today. The question is not, is God with you? But my question to you is this, are you with God? Because like the scriptures tell us that we find refuge and shelter under the shadow of his wings. That when we're near to God, that we're protected, we're in his presence. God is with us, but we can tend to wander. Jesus' appeal to us is this, come and follow me. And so are you with Jesus Christ? God is with you. Are you with him this morning? Number 2 is this, that God is good. God is good. That's the second thing we grab onto. Let me read to you Genesis 50, verses 18 to 20. Genesis 50, verses 18 to 20. It says this, his brothers also came and fell down before him, that him being Joseph, and said, behold, we are your servants. But Joseph said to them, do not fear, for am I in the place of God? As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring about that many people should be kept alive as they are today. And so here's what we see, that God is good. And listen, there's moments in your life where you're like, I don't see how this could be good. Here's what I think you'll agree with me on this, that it's not till we know the end of the story that we know whether it's a tragedy or a triumph. You just don't know. Like if you just kind of bop into a story in the middle of it and peer into a portion of it, you could think it's a tragedy when in fact it's a triumph. The tragedy set you up for the triumph. And so let me give you a few people. Like if you were to peer into this gentleman's life, Michael Jeffrey Jordan, who you may know as Air Jordan. Michael Jordan, a lot of you guys looked at me like, who is this Jordan you speak of? I'm like, please, you know who Michael Jordan is, right? Been a bunch of LeBron people, please, right? And Michael Jeffrey Jordan, peer into him as a high school student, being called in the high school coach's office, and the coach tells him, sorry, you don't have what it takes. Maybe keep working on your jump shot, right? And so he gets cut from his high school team. I mean, that sounds tragic to a high school kid, but I got news for you. Keep reading the story. There's another one, Thomas Edison. We've heard of him, right? Do you know this? He sent home from elementary school with a note from his teacher. Mom opens up the note, and the note says this: your son, he's too stupid to learn anything. Can we agree teaching was different back then, right? So your son is too stupid to learn anything. Please do not send him back to school. That's tragic. For the record, his mom didn't let him see that, and she tells him the letter says this: you're too exceptional for the other children, too smart. That they want you to learn at home. can we agree that little boy, it wasn't a tragedy? It's this epic triumph. Let me give you another one. Albert Einstein, right? This great physicist, this brilliant, brilliant mind. Well, our brilliant mind, little Albert, you know, he didn't start speaking till he was four. So, in other words, not a word. And we're like, come on, Albert, use your words, son. Use your words. Nothing till 4 years old. And then he didn't learn to read till he was seven. It was so much so that they thought he was mentally challenged, like something's wrong with this young man. I think his story turns out okay, right? You got to keep reading. And then this one's my favorite one, J.K. Rowling, you know her? Harry Potter, okay? So if you peered into her life, J.K. Rowling, divorced, single mom, battling depression, trying to go through school while at the same time writing a novel. Is she going to make it? I don't know. Fast forward, keep reading the story. She's worth $1 billion right now, okay? And here's, I say all that to say this. Your story's not done. Like, I look at some of you and I'm like, God's not done. Like, your story is not a tragedy. Remember, we know the end of the story. We know it. Your story is the triumph of Almighty God. We're a triumphant people. God assures us in Romans 8:28, he's going to cause everything work for good those who love him. God changes Joseph's tragedy and turns it into a triumph. So here's what I need us to see. What is God doing through all that mess of slavery and imprisonment? Let me show you what God's doing. He's training Joseph. Like, do you know what God's doing? Like, I just love this. I can't believe I'm gonna say this. Poor Satan. Right? Poor guy. Like, Satan's like, watch this. He gets his evil demons with him, and he's like, watch me jack with this little Joseph kid. I'm going to sell him into slavery. Watch out. Sells him into slavery. And what's happening the entire time is God's instilling in him wisdom, organizational skills, leadership, authority. He's exercising spiritual gifts to discern dreams. And he's positioning why? To make him the second in command of the entire planet at that time. Not only is God doing that, God is going to position Joseph to save not just Egypt, the known world. The world was starving due to this famine, but God used Joseph to help feed the entire planet. You know what else God is doing? God is making Egypt the wealthiest nation on the planet at this time. They become the wealthiest in all the world. And you know why? Because he's about to set them up. All that wealth is going to be plundered by a group of people you might know as Israel. as Moses leads them out of Egypt, but that's next week's story, okay? And then what else happens? God positions the 12 sons of Jacob, and they wind up living back in Egypt. See God as at work. Kim, why don't you come on? I'm gonna start to close, but before I do, I need to emphasize something here right now. And so I'm the anti-illustration guy, but I have an illustration for you today. As far as like props, I got a prop for you because I love you. we're talking about perspective this morning, and if we hang on to the fact that God is with you, and God is good, God is with you. And God is good. And this is the perspective we need to grab a hold of to get us through the crazy seasons in our life. But I want to give you another perspective, and that is this. And I'm going to read 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. The Apostle Paul says this. He says, have nothing to do with irreverent, silly myths. But here's what he says. He says, rather, train yourself for godliness. For while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds the promise for the present life, and get this, and also for the life to come. So I'm going to get your prop. I'm totally ripping off this illustration. Has anyone heard of a guy named Francis Chan? Some of us? Great, if you haven't, then this is my illustration, all right? and so I got for us this rope. Let me see if I can do this. And so now, if you can just believe, kind of visualize with me, this rope is life. This is an eternity. And I got a knotted up road. And if you could just figure that rope going behind, it never ends. It's eternity. And now what I want to show you is this section is time. And so somewhere on here is you and me. And here's what I want us to see is how much energy, how much effort and focus do we put on this? Isn't it everything? Like when you look at that and this is all you have to work with, like think about the madness of, oh, we're gonna save up a bunch of money and then we're gonna sacrifice all this so we can go away here, right? Or we're gonna not do this and not do that and here's the funny thing is there's all this eternity that still awaits us, and so I'm not sure if you've ever tried to live the Christian life, and so you act a certain way with your money, and you are able to sacrifice time, and people would look at you and they're going, you're crazy. Look at, you're missing out here. And here's what my appeal would be to them. No, you're crazy. You're building for here, and I'm storing up for all this stuff. Never ending. And so the good news for the believer this morning is this. God says that godliness, we win now and also for the life to come. And that's the perspective we need to have.
Thanks for listening to the Every Nation New Jersey podcast. For more information on our church, or if you'd like to give a financial gift, just go to our website, emcnj.org.